Boker Tov, in our continuing discussion of the history of the Ma'amadot, we are on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud. Amar Chama Bar Guri Amar Rab, Moshe Tikein Lehem LeYisrael Shmone Mishmarot. So Moshe was the one to originally establish the rotation system. Arba'a Me'elazar V'abar Mi'itamar. If you recall, after Aharon's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, were killed, the two remaining Kohanim were Elazar and Itamar. So Moshe established that Elazar would have four turns and Itamar would have four turns, which means their children would then divide it up that way. Shmuel v'midan al sheshesre. Shmuel then further divided them, so evidently each family got eight, so a total of 16. Ba'David v'midan al esrim v'arba. David then again added 50%, so that there were a total of 24. Shinemar, the proof text from Divrei Hayamim, it's Pasuk 1 on the page. The idea was that these 24 were found by the time of the end of David's reign. So the first challenge that we have is the idea that the development from 8 to 24 happened in two stages. Moshe tikein lehem leYisrael shmoneh mishmarot, arba'a me'elazar v'arba'a mi'itamar, same as before. Uvad David u'Shmuel v'midan al esrim v'arba. David and Shmuel together simply troubled them to the point of 24. Shtemar hema yisad David u'Shmuel haroeh be'emunatam. So in Divrei Hayamim, the second verse that we have, Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Tet, says that David and Shmuel together did them. No, that's easy to answer. Hachigamar mi yisodo shel David u'Shmuel harmati hamidum al esrim v'arba. It means that which David and Shmuel did together made it 24, but not necessarily that they did them at the same time. We have a third brayta. It's going to give us another number system. Tanya Idach, the one thing that we all know of is by the end of David's reign, there were 24 Mishmarot. There's also a tradition that the Mishmarot began with Moshe. The question is just how the numbers developed from Moshe to David. Tanya Idach, Moshe tekem lem Yisrael, sheshesre Mishmarot. So Moshe already has credit for two-thirds of them. Shmonami Elazar, Shmonami Tamar, so eight from each family. Later on in history, when Elazar's family became much more numerous than Itamar's, they redivided them so that Elazar got 16 and Itamar got 8. Shinamar, again in Divrayim, so Bnei Elazar were found to be more, many more than Bnei Itamar. So they got 16. That's quite simple. So we do see that Bnei Elazar do have twice as many Mishmarot. These, of course, are Mishmarot Kehuna that will then parallel the Mishmarot of Levi in Israel. My Veomer, Beit Av, Echad Achuz Le Elazar, Vachuz Achuz Le Itamar. In verse number 4, we have this phrase of Achuz and Achuz being, not here meaning percentage, but being held on to. My Viomer, what do we need the second pasuk for? To give fill in the history. The answer is V'chitema kihechad nefishu b'nei Elazar hachanami nefishu b'nei Itamar. In the first verse, it just says that b'nei Elazar increased over b'nei Itamar, but perhaps they both increased in a similar ratio, which would mean that originally b'nei Elazar were twice as many as b'nei Itamar, and then they just increased in kind. That's why it says, which means that originally it was 8 and 4, and now it was 16 and 8. That's why the text says that Itamar stayed put. But anyway, we slice it, we have a challenge to Rav Chaim Bar Guri in the name of Rav, who says that Moshe originally established 8, and here it says it was 16. He says the machloket tanaim, v'ana da amri ki hay tana da mashmona. There's a machloket tanaim about whether Moshe established 8 or 16, and I take the position of the Tana who says 8. I agree that there are other positions. Tana Rabbanan, now we get a little bit of more contemporary history. Arba'a mishmarot alu min hagola. So 4 of these 24 mishmarot came back in the return to Tzion, after the exile to Babel. Ve'elohin yidaya harim pashchur v'imer. Those four families. Amdun neviim shebeinahem, v'chilkum v'amidum al esrim v'arba'at. But the neviim divided those four families into 24. meaning it's sort of going back to where you were originally, but it meant that each one of these families got five other families' positions in the Mishmarot, and those families were fined for not making Aliyah. Lalum l'tanum b'kalfi, they mixed all of the other names together into a lottery, or into a box. Ba Yedai v'natal chalko v'chelek chavarav. So Yedai came, put his hand in, he took his own chelek, and he took five others. Shesh. Ba charim v'natal chalko v'chelek chavarav. Shesh, the same as charim, v'chein pashkur, v'chein ymer. So each one of these four got six positions, which means a total of 24. And they made the condition, even if the first Mishmeret comes and makes Aliyah, lo yidache yidayim komo, Yidaya doesn't lose his place, which seems to mean that Yidaya will maintain his position, but he'll have to give up one of the five extra that he has to Yehoyariv. Good. Okay, continuing on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Yisrael Shavotom Mishmar mitkansin ba'arehan v'korin b'ma'aseh v'reshit. Right, so the Israelim that are in that Mishmar would come into their cities, and they would read Ma'aseh V'Rishit. That was the Kriyat HaTorah. The Mishnah went on to explicate how the reading is done, and we'll take a look at that in a moment. But the first question is, why Ma'aseh V'Rishit? Min Hanimili, Amar Biyako Baracha, Amar Vasi, Umalei Ma'amadot, Lun Kamu Shamayim Varetz, because without the Ma'amadot, the regular, daily, representative members of Israel, standing in tefillah and fasting and reading the Torah, we would not have Shamayim Va'aretz being able to stand. And therefore, Bereshit sort of depends, the continuity of Bereshit depends on the Ma'amadot. Amar Rav Asi, right, Shedemar, Vayomar Adonai Elohim Mamai Daiki Rashana, when Hashem promised Avram that his children would inherit the land, Avram said, how do I know they'll inherit the land? A difficult question in and of itself. Amar Avraham Rabbanu Shalom, here we get a midrashic explication of the question. Shema Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha, Atav Selim Kedor Mabuch, Kedor Palaga. After all, you have destroyed others in the past, the generation of the flood, the tower. Perhaps if my children sin, you will take away their inheritance. Amar Leilav, so Hashem said, I won't. Avraham Rabbanu Shalom, Hodiyeni B'mayu Hashem. So now let me know with what merit I'm going to inherit it. Amar lei k'chali igla mishuleshet veiz mishuleshet. So the next verse on the page, verse 6, in which the next thing God says is take a calf and a ram and a lamb, etc., a goat. In other words, korbanot. And that's the ceremony that Avram went through, was all with the one representative of each of the animals that are used for korbanot. So Avram presciently said, that works when there's a Beit HaMikdash to bring korbanot. Bizmancha in Beit HaMikdash Kayam Matei Aleihem. What'll happen when there's no Beit HaMikdash? Marlo Kvarati Kantelem Seder Korbanot. I've already given them the order of korbanot, meaning the ability to read the and study the parshiot of korbanot. Bizmancha Korin Behem Lefanai Malei Aleihem Ki Ilhi Kivum Lefanai. Vani Mochalem Al Korbanotem. When they read this parsha, then I consider it as if they've done the korbanot, and I forgive them immediately. So therefore, we'd have to also come to the conclusion that at the Ma'amadot, they read the Parshiot of the Korbanot, along with the Parshiot of Ma'aseh Bereshit, and that one then leads to the other. Because they're reading the Parshiot of the Korbanot, it's as if they're bringing the Korbanot. Since they're bringing the Korbanot, therefore, they are sustaining Ma'aseh Bereshit. Tan Rabbanan, Anshei Mishmar Yumit Palin Al Korban Achayim Shit Kabal Baratzon. So the Bnei Yisrael of the Mishmar would pray that the Kohanim of their Mishmar would have their offerings accepted gracefully and with favor. Now, Shem Ma'amad, that's the Bnei Yisrael who are in other cities, they would fast four fasts. What becomes very unclear from this is whether the Israelim who would be in the Mikdash would be fasting. But we know that the Israelim who were not in the Mikdash would be gathering in Yavne and in Afula, wherever they were gathering, that they would be fasting. B'sheni b'Shabbat b'Shlishi Raviyah b'Chamishi. They fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. B'sheni al Yordei Hayam. On Monday they would fast for those people who are at sea to Hashem should protect them. B'Shlishi al Chei Midbarot. Tuesday for those who are traveling through the desert. B'Arviyi al Askarah Shlo Tipol al Tinokot, that diphtheria should not affect little children. B'Chamishi al Ubarot U'Menikot, for pregnant and nursing women, ubarot shalo yapilu, the pregnant woman should not miscarry, meni kot sheniku epneim, and the nursing woman that should be successful in nursing their children. The Maharsha here points out that these four seem to correlate, and you can already pick this up on the first two, with the Arba Shetzichim Lahodot, the four who have to give thanksgiving, that without a Mikdash would do in the form of Berchat HaGomel. The first two are fairly obvious, the next two take a little bit of a stretch, but that is his approach. They would not fast on Friday because of Kavod Shabbat. You don't want to end a Shabbat like that. And certainly they would not fast on Shabbat. Now, Bechad Shabbat might tell me, but why wouldn't they not fast on Sunday? This is subject to some hot debate as to what the Notzarim means. If we take the simple meaning that we would assume, which is that it's because of Christians, which means, by the way, it's a relatively late change. It's post-Churban, because the Christian change of the Sabbath to Sunday happens right around or after the Churban. Then the question is why that is. Is it because we don't want to have that day celebrated, because when we fast, we don't do Malacha, and by cessation of Malacha, it looks like we're joining in with their day of rest? Or is it the opposite, that they're going to get angry with us because we are mocking their special day by fasting on that day? Or does it mean something totally different? There are a range of possibilities here. But for right now, we'll read it that way. We'll read it right away. Rashi says, Sha'osim oto yom tov shalahem. It's Sunday is their holiday, and therefore we don't want to make it special in any sort of way. He says, after all, mankind was created on the Great Friday, the Friday of creation. And therefore, Sunday is the third day of creation, meaning man is 3 days old on Sunday. And he says, as a result of that, the Rashi, the third day after any painful procedure is the most difficult, as we see with the third day after Brit Milah, in Shechem was the day that they were all in pain. So that it's dangerous to fast on Sunday. Rish Lakish says, because we've had a neshama yitera, which was with us on Shabbat, it got ripped away afterwards when we feel weak, and the fast therefore will endanger us. What's the neshama yitera? Tamar Rish Lakish, we saw this already in Bab Masachet by Beitza. Neshama yitera nabo v'adam be'er Shabbat. When Shabbat starts, a person is given an extra soul, the motzei Shabbat odin otam yana, and they take it away from you after Shabbat. Shinamar, in the famous Pasuk, which is Pasuk number 7 on the page, Shavat Vayinafash, God rested and rejuvenated. What does that mean? Kivan Shavat Vay Avda Nefesh. Vayinafash is read as, oi, my nefesh is gone. And with the loss of the Neshama Yitera, then adding a fast, that would be far too hard. But what's very clear is they did not fast on Sunday, and then there's fairly fair conjectures as to why. Now, Bemershon Breshit Vayihakir, the Kriyat Torah, as the Mishnah said, is that on the first day they would read, even without fasting, they would read Breshit and Vayihakir, the first 2 days of creation. So Tana Breshit Bishnayim, Breshit, which is 5 psukim, verses 1-5, was read by 2 people. Yihakir Be'achad, Yihakir, which is 3 psukim, was read by 1 person. I understand how Yihirakiah is read by one, it's 3 psukim, which is exactly the perfect amount for one reading. And parenthetically, I point out that when we get to the third parak of Masachet Megillah, all of these details of how many psukim must be read every time you take out a Torah, and how many psukim must be read for each aliyah, etc., how many aliyot we have for every different kind of day, will all be explicated. How do we have 2 people reading Breshit? It's only 5 psukim. You have to have a minimum of 3, which means that one of the readers here is going to be shortchanged. Rav Amar Doleg. So Rav says the solution is Doleg. Doleg normally means skip. Here what it means is really overlap. You read, the first guy reads Pasuk 1, 2, 3. The second guy reads 3, 4, 5. Shmuel Amar Posek. Shmuel says you break it, which means you read 1, 2, and half of 3, and the other fellow picks up the second half of 3, 3, 4, 5, so really each one of them has read 3 psukim, even though one of the psukim is a half a pasuk. Now, let's see why each position won't accept the other position. Rav Damar Doleg Maitamal Amar Posek. Why won't Rav accept the idea of splitting the pasuk? So Kasavar, he holds from this position, Kol psukot lo psake Moshe, anan lo psakin leik. Any pasuk that Moshe did not divide, we don't divide. In other words, we don't read half psukim and call them a pasuk. question is whether this is an issue of kiyum of a kriya and calling it validly a pasuk, or whether it's a prohibition of stopping in the middle. It seems from the next passage that it may be a prohibition, as we see in a moment. Shmuel amar posek umi paskinan. Since when do we stop in the middle? How could Shmuel say that? The Amar Rabbi Chanina Kara, Rabbi Chanina, who was a teacher, Kara, a teacher of Tanakh. Tsar gadol hayali eitzo Rabbi Chanina gadol. I had a lot of problems with my supervisor, Rabbi Chanina gadol. The only time he allowed me to stop in the middle of the pasuk was for teaching little kids. Because they're learning. You have to stop in the middle, explain to them what they read, and correct the reading. In other words, normally we're not allowed to stop in the middle of the pasuk. So how could Shmuel say that? Shmuel hatam tamamai. So Shmuel says, yeah, what's the reason we allow it there? Yishum the law of Shar, because there's no other way to teach them otherwise. Hachanami, law of Shar. Here also, there's no other way to fulfill the reading. We need to have three aliyot, evidently. We have five psukim and three psukim. So the five psukim have to have two aliyot. The only choice is to break it in half. You're right, it's not ideal, but we don't have a choice. Now, Shmuel amar posek, my time al amar doleg. So why doesn't Shmuel like Rav's solution of 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5? He says it's a concern because if people leave earlier or come in late, they're going to either hear them picking up in Pasuk Gimel and think, aha, last Aliyah they only read for two psukim, or if they leave early, they're going to think, aha, they're only going to read two psukim because they already read 1, 2, and 3. And as a result of that, they'll be confused if they see them stopping in the middle or starting in the middle. And the notion here, of course, the presumption, is that nobody's going to leave in the middle of a reading, but they may leave in between readings. If you have six psukim, that's two guys. If you have five psukim, that's one guy. But if the first guy read three, and now there's two psukim left, what do you do? You read two, and then one from the next one. Some people say you have to read three psukim from the next one. Because you're not allowed to begin reading a parsha without going three psukim deep. All right, but either way, both opinions agree that you cannot have two readers together complete five psukim and not go any further. So according to Rav, why don't they overlap? And according to Shmuel, why don't they break the pasuk in half? And the answer is, Shani Hatam, the Idlai Ravcha. Different because there they are reading more. In other words, they're not limited to reading only those two parshiot. They can go further. And therefore, since they have that option, Rav and Shmuel agree that what we're doing here is not ideal. It's just, given the circumstances, the best choice, either Doleg or Posek. Good. The Mishnah then said that the Parshag Dula Korin al Tabishnaim, Bishachrit uva Musaf uva Mincha Korin al Peh. There's a parsing problem. The Mishnah said that you read out of the Torah, Shachrit, Musaf, Mincha, you read Baal Peh. Now, which one of those is Baal Peh, which one is Basefer? It's clear that Shachrit is Basefer, Mincha is Baal Peh. What about Musaf? Ibailu, Echi Kamar. How was it read? Shachrit Musaf Korin Ota Basefer, Mincha Korin Ota Al Peh, Korin Ot Shema. In the Shachrit and Musaf, it's read out of Basefer. This is the way we read the Mishnah. And Mincha, it's read Baal Peh. Maybe it's like this. Shachrit Korin Ota Basefer. Only in Shachrit is it read Basefer. Musaf Mincha Korin Ota Al Peh, Korin Ot Shema. And Musaf Mincha, it's read Baal Peh. So Toshma, we have a clear bright. The Tanya b'Shachrit of Musaf nichasin levet haKnesset b'Korin k'derech shekorin kol haShana. So Musaf Shachrit Musaf we read from a Sefer Torah. V'mincha yachid korei ota al peh. Amar b'Yosi v'chi yachid yachol likrot divrei Torah al peh b'tzibur. His impression was mincha yachid korei ota al peh means one man stands up and reads for everybody, but without a sefer. He says you can't do that. L'kulan nichasin v'korin ota al peh k'korin haShana means the whole community comes in and they read this parsha, Baal Peh, like a recitation. So it's very clear now that the only part time done Baal Peh is in the afternoon. All right, then we had a statement that the exceptions to the Ma'amadot are when there are special occasions on that day. So the first one was, Kol Yom Shiyish Bo Halal In Bo Ma'amad B'Shachrit. If there's Halal, there's no Ma'amad B'Shachrit. And if there's Korban Eitzim not at Mincha or Ne'ila, and if it's a Korban Musaf, then there's a Mincha or Ne'ila, two different opinions or two different ways of reading it until we finally all got in line. So my phrase, Ben Zelazet. So the question is, why do we distinguish between a Yom Shishbo Musaf and a Yom Shishbo Korban Eitzim? The answer is, Musaf is Doraita, then the whole Korbanit Tzim is a Derabanan, as we're going to hear right now. Now the Mishnah says, Mana Tzei Kohanim Veha'am. So Tan Rabbanan, Lama Utsuchu Lamar Zman Tzei Kohanim Veha'am, why is it called that? The time of the Kohanim and the people bringing the Etzim. So there's a history behind this. Amruk, Shalu B'nei HaGola L'matzu Etzim B'lishka. When the people came up from the Gola, they found that there was no wood. So this is not when they first came up with Shesh Batzar in 536. This is when they came up with Ezra at a later time, and there was already a Mikdash, there was already a Lishka, but there was not enough wood in the Lishka. So what happened is, Amdu Elu Itnadvu Mishalahem. Different families said, we will provide the wood. And on different days they brought it. V'chachitnu Nevim Shemeneim. And so then the Nevim among them, which may have been Chagai and Zechariah, said, from now on, this is what we're going to do on these days. Shafil Lishkam Liayitzim. Even if the Lishka is filled with wood, you Elu Mitnadvim Shilahem. These families each will bring of their own on that day, even some symbolic amount of wood. Shemar, the Pasuk, we have Pasuk 8 on the page. V'ha'go'alot, hipalnu al korban ha'itzim, ha'kohanim ha'vi'im ba'am la'vi l'veit Eloheinu l'veit avotenu l'itzim mezumanim. So we have agreed to bring it to the house of our fathers, to the house of God, on certain days, shana v'shana l'va'er al mizbach Adonai Eloheinu, to burn it on the altar of Hashem, k'katuv b'Torah. Good. Now, among the list of Zmana Tzei Kohanim, tu ba'av, the 15th of Av, listed, Imahem Kohanim Uvi'im V'chol Mish Shelo Yon Ta'am B'Shifto, anybody who didn't know Shevet, and then it said, B'nei Gonvei Eli U'v'nei Kotzei K'siot. So who are these guys? Tan Rabbanan, we're going to hear some heroic stories. Me'ayu B'nei Gonvei Eli U'v'nei Kotzei K'siot, who are these guys? Amru. Pa'am Achad Gazra Machut HaRasha'ah. This Machut HaRasha'ah, unlike the usual usage, clearly are Greeks, because this took place in the times of the Mikdash. Gazru Shmar Al Yisrael Shelo Yaviyu Etziv Lamaracha. They declared a decree that Jews may not bring wood to the Mikdash for burning. Shleiaviyu Bikurim Shalaim. They also made a decree that Jews can't bring Bikurim. Oshivu pros da'ot al hadrachim, and they set up roadblocks, guardhouses on the road. Kedera shoshivu Yeravam ben Nevat shelo yalu Yisrael aregel. As long as we're mentioning it, we'll mention the terrible Yeravam ben Nevat, first king of the north, who in order to consolidate and centralize his kingdom, forbade the Jews of the north to make aliyah to Yerushalayim and set up guardhouses to keep them from doing that. So now, me'asuk shirin shevoto ador v'yerechet, what did the proper and proper God-fearing people of that generation do? Heviu salei bikurim v'chipum b'ktziot. They brought baskets of bikurim, of the first fruits, and they covered them with pressed figs. Untalum ve'eli al kat kitfein. They went and they had a cleaver, or flat tool on their shoulders, so they're called gonvei eli, gonvei in the sense of smuggling. When they got to the guardhouse, they're asked, where are you going? We're going to make a fig wheel with this presser, and with this cleaver. As soon as they got out of sight of the guardhouse, they took off the figs, and they decorated their baskets, and they brought their baskets of Bikurim to Yerushalayim. Tana, hein hein b'nei Salmai HaNetofati. And now we have a name of a family, Salmai HaNetofati. Tana, Rabbanan, Mahin b'nei Salmai HaNetofati. Who are they? Amru pam achat gazor machut harashah shmad al Yisrael. We have a variation on that story, which may be a different shmad or a variation of the same. So they view Eitzim l'maracha, not to let them bring wood to the Ma'aracha. V'oshivu pros da'ot al-adrachim k'derech shoshiv ravam benevat al-adrachim shalayu Yisrael al-regel. Same thing of the roadblocks. Me'asu yirechet shibotu ador. What did the God-fearing people of that generation do? Heviu gzirehen. They brought their wood. V'asu sulamot. They put their wood together into ladders. As they slotted them and they moved into ladders. V'nichu al-kitfeim. They put these ladders. They're evidently relatively small ladders, but they put them on their shoulders. V'achulam. They walked. Kivan shigiu et salan, amru lahem, when they got to the guardhouses, they said, Leichana tem hochim, where are you going? Amru lahem, havi gozalot mishovach, shalafanenu. We're going to get doves out of the dove coat that's in front of us. Salamot chal tafenu, we're going to use these ladders. Kivan shavru mehen, as soon as they got past them, perkum ve'vium ve'alum liushalayim. They took the ladders apart, and they brought them up to Yerushalayim. regarding heroes like this who are willing to endanger their life and do what's necessary to bring things to the Beit HaMikdash, who omer zecher tzadik livracha. Right, this is the Pasuk in Mishlei, the first half of Pasuk number 9, which is that the memory of the tzaddik should be blessed, which is why we have the effort to find out the name of that family, Salmai ben Don Tofati. We want to mention his name. Ve'al Yeravam ben Avad v'chabirav, and regarding Yeravam ben Avad and his buddies, which means these guys who also set up these roadblocks to keep Jews from coming to the Mikdash. Ne'amar, we have the second half of that Pasuk, Shem Rishayim Yerkav, the names of the evil shall be rotted. And indeed, Baruch Hashem, we have many people of whom to say, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we will continue Adaf Chafchet Amud Aleph with more descriptions of the, we'll complete the descriptions of the times of the Atzei Kohanim, and then we will come into the saddest period of the year, taking a look at the events that befell our ancestors on Shiva Sabra Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Everyone should have a wonderful day.